Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in the bulletin you were given that's going to list all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. And also in the insert is our community song, the words to our community song. You might want to look at that so that you can sing freely during the time we sing together. If you misplace that insert, or if you just want more information, or perhaps a service, or the newsletter, or something, find out something, find out when your next retreat is, check the website, consciousharmony.org. There is a special insert regarding Tim's class, which is going to be on the phenomenon of man by Teilhard de Chardin. And I want to say that I ran into somebody last week, and they said that they had gotten the book, and they found it very hard to read in seminary, and they put it down. And they picked it up, and it was very hard to read. And his wife said, oh, yes, but you've grown so much, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he said it was very hard to read. So this is a word, this is, are you sure? Do it. Okay. Tim will talk about that in a minute. Perhaps you have felt the call to work with our youth, to serve our youth, and maybe don't feel ready or that you can at this time commit to growing in godly play. Well, we have a couple of openings that might be just right for you that would still serve our children. One of them is the greeter that greets people in the fellowship hall, that greets the young people and their parents. And that's from 9:30 to 10. And so you end in time to get into the service. And you're really the first face that a lot of new people come into the church. And also you're the person that helps the young person feel relaxed and comfortable about going into their classes. Also, we're in need of a musician who can either play the piano or guitar to accompany the children's singing in children's chapel. That is the first part of the service, so you would miss the announcements, but you could come in time for the service. And I don't know, I think those are probably once monthly openings. I do want to say that there have been some pretty outstanding musicians that have played in there for quite a period of time. So pray about it and consider it. The bonus in that is that you get to hear Miss Deborah's story in Children's Chapel. And quite personally, I always wished I could bilocate so I could be in Children's Chapel, and that's just not something I can do at this moment. So you'd get to hear Miss Deborah's Children's Chapel tale. If that is you, please contact Deborah Hale or Jackie Botto, or you can notify the church office. Please remember that next Sunday is our first Sunday of the month, so we collect non-perishable food items to be donated to Caritas, and then they lovingly distribute them to the people in our community that are in need of food supplies. So this is a great time to share with our brothers and sisters. And even if you do it in a lot of other places, it doesn't hurt to bring a couple of cans of food or something. So let's have a big outpouring of the generosity that God has given to us so that we can share with others. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony and you'd like to find out more about the church and its teachings, someone will be on the other side of the bridge to speak with you, to give you something to take home and read, and to begin a dialogue with us. And now Tim has a message for us.
Well, there's this phenomenon of man book, which was difficult when I was in school. But I discovered something that may be of help to you if you find difficulty in reading this. Teilhard's purpose is to show us something. He wants us to see through a conceptual lens and take a look at this universe and our place in it outside of our normal, perceptual, conditioned, habitual, limited view. The expanse of the universe opens up from the Big Bang, the Alpha, to the Omega. And it invites us to participate in the evolution of the species as a part of the evolution of the Earth itself. You know, for too long, we've carried around this idea that we're the center of the universe, center of creation, center of the Earth. And a couple weeks ago, we read from a book called Becoming God, Becoming Like God, that the reason for all suffering, all inharmony, is due to self-cherishing, or the desire to receive for ourselves alone. Now, let's face it, that's the human condition, up to now. We've become individualists, not individuals, it's just fine and necessary to be an individual. But individualism pulls us out of the context, separates us as though we could be separate, and tells us our destiny is our own only, and nobody else's business. Well, we know that until that moment when we're taking our last breath, when we realize all the money we've accumulated isn't ours anymore. All the experiences that we enjoyed telling about, we can't tell anybody about anymore. So these are finite, not bad, but they're not what part of us is going to last. And if we play that acquisitive, self-bound game, we're acting as though we're not part of the universe. Now, can you imagine a cell in our hearts, an organ in the heart? The cell says, What do I care about the rest of the body? I'm a healthy cell. I have all I need. What do I care about the organ of the heart? What do I care about the body itself? Well, it'd be stupid, wouldn't it? That's the condition we're in. We're inextricably a part of this cosmos. We're woven into it. The clothes we are wearing, we did not make. The food we are eating, we did not grow. We don't even make our own hair care products. Now, this, of course, is of no interest to me anymore, except in as much as I'm married. When we were in London, they've got a gigantic Ferris wheel there, right on the Thames. And it looked like kind of a pain in the neck. Who wants to go on a big Ferris wheel? So I said, Rara, you want to go on it? She said, I don't know. So we were kind of ambivalent, and all of a sudden we found ourselves on it. And it had huge lines, it was very inconvenient. But when we got to the top of this, what they call the Eye of London, we could see a perspective of that city that was undreamed of from street level. What Teilhard de Chardin wants to give you is eyes to see. Now, if we read this book like we were reading for a test in school, which is, I think, what makes it seem hard, we're wasting our time. He's offering us a view of things. From the very first accumulations of matter that became differentiated into the elemental spectrum of elements, that became gradually cells and tissues and organs, and finally the being that is self-reflective, the part of creation that can look at the rest of creation and reflect the glory of the Creator in it and experience ourselves as a part of it, that it loves and that it knows what to do with. So this idea, these self-bound strategies are leading us to the to difficult times, to use an understatement. The new Audubon magazine, I can hardly read Audubon anymore. Wow, really? Nature Conservancy is telling me the same thing. Change is coming, and about time. Individualism served its purpose in getting us from tribal consciousness into individuation, but now it's like any evolutionary past leap, it's the past. And the future invites us to cosmic participation in the life of Christ. An individual adventure beyond what any of us could conceive for ourselves, and a gift to the whole of creation, including all the animal life that's being ignored as if it didn't matter, and to the glory of the Creator, who has invited us to become co-creators, participants in the life of the earth, participants in the life of the cosmos, participants in the unfolding of the infinite possibilities of the human race in the middle of a finite world, just like this one. That's what the invitation is. So I'm going to read you one little thing from Ilya Delio's book, the new one that's not available yet apparently, called Making All Things New. And after I read this, I'm going to do everything in my power to shut up. Last week I intended to shut up, and it got away from me. So this week I'm going to invite you. I want to hear your responses to the invitation that I made a couple weeks ago to buy into the vision of a participant, co-creative community in the life of the cosmos. So as soon as I read this, I'm going to seal my lips and ask you, how are we doing as far as communicating this vision? How are we doing as regards in making a potent invitation? I want to close this sale, in other words. I want to hear back if you're ready to sign or if we need to massage the ideas some more. Okay, page 45. the whole history of the universe, particularly the history of biological life on Earth, has been characterized by the steady emergence of complexity. Teilhard de Chardin described evolution as a biological ascent, a movement toward more complexified life forms, in which at critical points in the evolutionary process, qualitative differences emerge. This progressive evolutionary movement, according to Teilhard, is one in which the consistence of the elements and their stability of balance lie in the direction not of matter, but of spirit. This movement from matter to spirit marks the fundamental property of the cosmic mass to concentrate upon itself as a result of attraction of synthesis. Thus, there is only one real evolution, the evolution of convergence, because it alone is positive and creative. And he's saying the omega point draws us forward and upward, that life has not been pushed from behind by the Big Bang, but drawn forward and upward by the true nature of our own, the omega in our own hearts, yearning for union with the omega that unifies the entire cosmos. In 1940, Teilhard completed his most important work, The Phenomenon of Man, in which he described the fourfold sequence of the evolution of galaxies, Earth, life, and consciousness. The human person is not a ready-made fact, but the outflow of billions of years of evolution, beginning with cosmogenesis and the billions of years that led to biogenesis. Throughout the ages, life has constructed organisms of ever greater complexity, and with this increased complexity, the organism has also shown an increase in consciousness, that is, an increase of intention, of acting with a goal. Teilhard saw evolution of the human person as a part of the whole natural process of creativity and generativity. So, what have you heard about this idea of a monastery without walls getting really serious? Yes, Rod.
Yeah, Desjardins' idea of the Christification of the universe and of getting to know itself.
Yes.
And I find that everything, that we've undertaken here at the church, including, centering prayer and the work, is heading towards this
yes.
personal goal of theosis,
yes.
as Thomas would say, in which each of the cells in the body of Christ are becoming conscious of themselves and then each other. And it just seems so perfectly simple, actually, that God would become completely conscious through the Son,
yes.
through us.
Yes.
And I'm just so grateful for my own personal transformation in this. And you can see how it spreads out from each of us individually into our workplaces, our families, and continues to grow in that manner. It not only seems intellectually plausible, but it feels that there's a knowledge there that it's true.
Yes. You know, you said that personal transformation and theosis, it's true. You can feel a change coming in you that you didn't do yourself. And this is the Christification. This is Christ moving into human beings, and he's doing it to people just like us. And if we don't stop to look at it, we'll think we've improved ourselves. It'd be like an apple bragging about its roundness and ripeness. Anna, please.
What I've learned from this monastery without walls is that I have to work on my inner self decreasing the false self in order to really hear the will. I've always thought that my path, or I had an idea, a personal idea of what my path of what God had wanted me to do, but all that leads to when I don't work on the false self is to work on external rewards like money and wealth and fame, whatever. It was only through this church that I started to start to see the real self, a glimpse of the real self. So I can imagine when God said to Noah, "Noah, go build an ark." And he must have said, "Right." And when God said to me, "Anna, go teach centering practice, centering prayer to physician," I said, "Right." Because see, I thought, well, I've only been doing this for 3 years, and I thought, why me? Why would I go teach a bunch of egotistic maniac who thinks that they're you for centering prayer? So I find myself working on this, but it started to push me. You said something is pulling you forward, not from behind, but pulling you forward. And then I find myself in a workshop several months later teaching centering prayer to a bunch of physicians at Seton Medical Center. So the basic of all of this is to work on myself, to separate the false self and learn to hear God's will. And it does lead me. I continue to work on the false self. It's not gone. It's still very much there. But this church without walls, this monastery without walls, has allowed me to do that and to put this practice into my daily life, my daily work.
Beautiful. And of course, we need community to do this. I think I said last week I was a yogi in a cave. I was so enlightened and so spiritual and so free. And I got married. Guess what, Tib? You've got work to do. You've developed the skills. You know the patterns. You get the taste for the game. Now let's see you work. Because now we're getting down to the real nitty-gritty of learning to love and be loved by another human being. Michael, you had your hand up? Nope. Okay. Do you want to put your hand up? Please, Malcolm.
As a biologist who's been studying evolution for 50 years, teaching at UT, I have some perspective to make about your comments about the evolution of the cosmos up to man. The flowers behind you, those beautiful flowers, have cells that are just as complicated at the cellular level as the cells in your brain. They have all the cell organelles, they have the nuclei, the DNA, all that. So what's different? Why are we different from those flowers behind you? Why are the brain cells different? Well, we have only 100 billion of them in our brain, 100 billion. And the division of labor now is that as we evolve, these millions of cells begin to think and understand and new patterns develop. And that's what God has done, in my opinion.
It's co-evolution. God is unfolding as we are unfolding.
Exactly. And here's the deal. The flowers perhaps don't recognize that God is doing that, but we have developed that extra sixth sense through our evolution to develop, to understand it, and that's the difference.
Thank you. Now, I want to work on the idea of community, why we need each other. Where? Fletcher. Let's give them a microphone. Fletcher, wait.
I will try to make this relevant to community. It wasn't originally what I wanted to say, but I think I can work it in.
Well,
this idea of Omega attracting us, I wonder if there is a parallel with the ray of creation.
Absolutely.
where there are things going in both directions.
Yes.
Just like the ray of creation. And if we work in community, we have a lot bigger chance of achieving the omega rather than the moon.
Yes. And in fact, I would say less achieving the omega, because it's not gaining more excellence. It's shedding more of our baggage and our ballast. Christ is already the case in every one of us. The omega is already in each of our hearts. Now, just as a quick example, look at how hard it was to keep our minds on a question. Because associations take us this way and that way and this way and that way. So it's letting go of those things that get attracted by the outer world so that we can feel the inner world. And then what happens? Oh my goodness. Our burdens become light and our yokes become easy. And the kingdom of heaven is clearly given to us, as Malcolm said, like the flowers. Nobody tell, they don't sit around and say, geez, my petals are disorganized. Can you imagine, oh, my keratin threads are... go ahead, Leslie.
Well, a couple of weeks ago when you asked us about owning the vision of this church ourselves, that you would not be the one carrying that alone, and so many people have stepped forward to head so many committees and jobs and visions that it's happening, and I'm really grateful. But we had a discussion after church, and some of us were concerned that, oh no, I'm already doing so much, now I have to do more. Or, oh no, I needed to step back because of my family or something, and now I'm being asked to do more. And I just said, it's not do more necessarily. We're a community. They're all types of cells. Maybe you're just the mucus, but it's very essential. You know, you don't have to be the heart and the brain, and you don't have to be all of it. It's just each individual commitment to that omega or to that unfolding. And to be together. Just be together. Sometimes I'm here and I just need to be loved. And sometimes I'm here and I need to give more or do more. But it's not just doing.
Not at all. It's Mary has the better part. It's in being. This is the Western intellectual trend is doing, accumulating, having, and working with things you can count. But qualities are what we're talking about, and a quality in a life doesn't really ask us to do more in the church. It's to be conscious, to work on getting more and more awake to the inner things that steal us away from the right now presence of God. So it's a process that we call the apophatic way, the way of negation. I'm not this thought, I'm not this feeling, I'm not this sensation, I'm not this experience. What am I? I'm the knower. I'm the presence. Every one of us, that's true for. And so the part of us that wants to attain something and get better wants to keep doing something right. And it's just doing what we're doing and being ourselves on purpose. That's the hardest thing of all. To be ourselves, to be Tim. I didn't want to be Tim. I've been trying to get rid of him all my life. You know, he was never good enough here, and he couldn't do that well, and other people do this better. And there's a way in which we subtly, maybe not so subtly, negate our whole worth. God doesn't see us that way. Where in the world did we pick up that message that there's something wrong with us? Now we start living from the word that God utters about us. There's something right with you, my love. I love you, and I love you exactly where you are, and I love you. You're the cutest little thing. My favorite little broken person. But see, this is a hospital. We're here to get well. Cynthia, please.
I'm going to try and formulate my what I want to say as I'm talking, so it might sound a little disconnected, but love is what holds this planet together, and hate is what destroys it.
I can't hear you.
Love is what holds the planet together, and hate is what destroys it. And if our focus is just on ourselves, I guess what I'm saying is our purpose is to share and give that love. Help us move forward with that. I had a conversation with some people who were trying to justify war. Is it serving a purpose? And I just didn't know what to say after I said that, because that is just as simple as it gets. And with that, I think our purpose is to learn how to serve. Not be a doormat, but be here to serve and love unconditionally. And that's what will move us forward.
And you need people to brush up against you to find out where your edges are, where you're still defining ourselves as separate or other. It's in the community that has come together for a deep purpose, which we recognize. Like when Barb and I were having our worst difficulties, each of us could see Christ in the other. Our personalities were doing this, but the truth in us was like this. We were already one, so if there was a problem that one of us had with the other, we didn't project it onto the other. We learned to take care of it ourselves. We learned to return to love without asking people to change their behavior. But you need a lot of people around to show you just how judgmental and critical you are, so that you can surrender it. If you see it, you can. If you own it, you can surrender it. And when that's surrendered, the heart is available to go out to all humanity, to go out to the creatures of the earth, and to wonder and marvel like we did when we were little kids. Yes, Marie, and then Rusty.
In the sense of community, I wanted to say I have never been in a church before where the minister asked the congregation to teach. And we are teachers for each other because we learn from each other's experiences. And the most appealing thing about this church when I first came here was that it was open to what you always used to refer to as the wisdom teachings of every faith and every path. And in this setting, in this church, we are open to hearing from each other and learning from each other's experiences. And that, to me, has been one of the most valuable things that this community has had to offer me. Thank you.
And beautiful. And please understand that this is our work on ourselves. Barb and I get to work on ourselves here. So this is win-win-win all around. We're all in this together, and we're learning together, and we learn from each other and with each other. And there's a synergy in group, getting a group of people who have a common aim and a common intention. It reinforces them in an exponential way so that each of us gets far more out of the community than we put in. Give it to Jack and then Rusty. Yeah. It's just already there.
Well, the big bang that got me here, pushing here, was Jackie. And it only took 2 weeks for me to recognize that I wasn't being pushed from back behind, but I was being pulled from above. I was in line just this morning for breakfast, and one of my new friends in the Simple Explanation of Work Ideas class that just ended was talking with me and saying, she said, and she went to the Thursday night work class, Work of Inner Christianity class after that, those lessons we had, and was saying, these other people, they're experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing. You know, I'm, wow, you know, she was just amazed. And I had this flashback, teary-eyed, of telling Jeff Junang, my first work partner, the same thing. You know, that we're all in this thing together, that by being open and responsive to each other and by being willing to be honest and own what's going on, and then having the tools, and if the work and centering prayer that helps us work through that stuff. Yeah, it is. It's absolute community, and it's organic, and it's going on, and it's going on, and it's going higher and higher, and it's becoming more centered by the minute.
Yeah. Rusty?
Sir? I've been going here for about 10 years, and in essence, I've been having a 10-year conversation with my mom about this place. Grew up Catholic, and she always starts her conversations on these issues with, when are you going to come back to the trueness of the Catholic Church? And it leads to very good conversations, because it's caused me to really think about what, you know, what makes a, what makes this place so special for me. And it's in this area of community, and as we talk about it, you know, with my mom, that's an area that we've been able to kind of get some agreement on, in the sense that that's probably where the formation within the church was missing.
Yes.
Because you go to church, you go to Mass, and you go to CCD, you know, religious, you know, class 1 hour a week. And that, in essence, is it. And what gets embedded in that is this idea of this, whatever you consider this idea of salvation, it's a one-on-one process. It is an individual process that you got to step up and do to be worthy of salvation. And I never had the component of community integrated into this process. And I can remember, and this is not an idea that I had, I think it's just something when I first started coming, there was an intention to be able to introduce myself to two new people every Sunday. And as time passes, that wavers. But it added such a richness early on to my engagement with this place. And I would just offer up maybe a suggestion to everybody here, that if you see somebody that you don't know, just introduce yourself and let the Holy Spirit take it from there.
I love it. I love it. When I came to church for the first time after 20 years away, I got out of there so fast, lest I meet anybody. And holding hands, then I couldn't sing for the first 2 years. Guys don't sing. If you stand there with me, God, is it done yet? It's amazing to see the change that can occur in one of them. Yes, Mary Leah.
Very often I'm leaving the sanctuary with the notion in mind that walking Christ out into the world. And taking what we learn here, opening our hearts, opening our minds, and taking it out with us during our week. And a picture that comes to mind oftentimes when I'm out trying to bear Christ in the world is the fact that I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be there. I'm going to manifest the Holy Spirit in things I do my very best to be attentive and to discern. And then whatever happens, happens. And I'm struck by the visual that Buckminster Fuller gave to me when I read that a bumblebee, the intention of the bumblebee is to make the honey, to support the hive. But in doing that, in just flying straight to get to the honey and make the honey, they're leaving the pollen behind and they're bringing the flowers to be and the trees. And they don't know that, and they don't need to know. They focus on what their aim is. Every day they get up, they set the same aim, and away they go. And this week I wanted to share something with you that I think you'd enjoy, Tim, and that is that I got a picture from Kay, our 19-year-old daughter who's working in Madrid. And on her travels this week, she went into a pet shop, and she saw a dog ball, and she took a photo. And it's on Facebook. And so many people from the church, from her hyped group and from people in the church have seen that dog ball. And there it is, Tim. Yeah.
Christ, individuals, Jesus.
So So that dog ball theology has walked out into the world.
That is just precious.
And there are no walls. There are no walls there.
It's time for us to stand up and give our hearts to song.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. Behold, there he stands, our wall, gazing in at the window, my beloved speaks. He says, arise, my love, come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, come to me. Arise, my love, come away. Oh, my dove, in the cleft of the rock, let me see your face, let me hear your sweet voice.
Now let us join together for a time of centering prayer together. As we prepare ourselves, let's just take note of the chairs on which we sit and become aware that they're supporting our body weight. In that awareness, we can accept that support and let go. Relax. Open. Relaxed, open, and alert, we allow our attention to fall gently to the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we're going to listen with the ear of the heart to what St. Paul would like us to know about ourselves. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. God chose us in Him before the world began, to be holy and blameless in His sight. He predestined us to be his adopted sons and daughters through Christ, for such was his will and pleasure, that all might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. In him and through his blood we've been redeemed. Our sins are forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. He has given us the wisdom to understand fully the mystery, the plan he was pleased to decree in Christ, a plan to be carried out in Christ in the fullness of time, to bring all things into one in him, in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth. And we open to that promise, that reality, as we consent to his love and presence in centering prayer. Consenting to be the children of heaven that Christ reveals in us, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is a time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds our spiritual evolution. And to do so, we take our tithes and offerings in our hands, and we bless them with our knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. awake now to endless creativity. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray this. Amen. One of the things that, that Teilhard de Chardin progressively discusses is matter, the spiritualization of matter, and how these old Greek categories of matter as other, or the Newtonian categories of things that move other things, has been replaced by the livingness of spirit. We're beginning to understand how it's always been for us. But matter is spirit, and spirit is matter. And here on the table before us is a mute witness that's eloquently telling us that the visible contains the invisible, that the mass of the Eucharistic host bears the spiritual energy of the right now Christ. And as we take it into ourselves, we discover that our own matter has become spiritualized, that the matter of these bodies, which we very facilely say, I, mine, but don't know much about, these bodies belong to God. The visible bodies contain an invisible spirit. And in the cup, the reminder of what Barb read from Paul, you're forgiven, I'm forgiven. The human condition may have seduced us into doing all kinds of unconscious things, but this universe is a zero-balance bookkeeper. It holds nothing against us. So when we come forward for communion, let's realize ourselves as not just these individuals, but members of the cosmos, members of the race, tied with every human that's ever participated in this ceremony and every human that ever will. This is the continuity of Christ in history while everything around us changes. Let's join in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again, he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples saying, drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
Oh. proclaim the work of your hands. Mold us, mold us and fashion us into the Jesus, your Son, of Jesus, your Son. Father, may we be one in you, may we be one in you, as He is in you. See?
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace.
Grace that taught my heart to sing.
Lord, hear our prayer. We are grateful, thankful for our community of practice and transformation. Amen.